Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
Hey, so my name is Pastor Antonio. I'm one of our pastors here on staff. I serve with our young adults. We have any young adults in the house? And I also work with our Connect groups and our marriage ministries and have some other roles here on team. And it's just my pleasure to serve the house of God and you all. And man, I just want to encourage everyone tonight through opening up of the word that God is just going to do something, but we have to open up our hearts. You know, we can come and sit, but it's not going to be because you sat in a church service. There's no, as you notice, there's no like clock in, there's no attendance sign off card here, anywhere around here. We just go off the presence of God. And so we're so excited about that. Hey, before we start, I just want to share a testimony with you. Can I share a testimony? Man, everyone loves testimonies, right? Man, God has just been so good. I love to share about how good he's been in my life. And I know if he can do something for me, man, he could do something in your life as well. So I want to build faith tonight. Hey, a couple times ago when I was sharing with you guys here at Overflow, I had shared a testimony, or part of the message was about making room in our lives. I used the example in 2 Kings of the Shunammite woman who made room for the man of God and just miracles in her life. And I shared a personal testimony about how my wife and I had been trying to conceive for some years, and that we had, I had recently redone a room in our house. I'm like, I'm going to make room, Jesus, like the Shunammite woman. I'm going to make room by putting a nursery in our house for our baby to come. There was no baby to come yet, but in my heart, there was a baby to come. So I was going to make room. Well, I kid you not, probably about a month after I redid the nursery, painted the nursery, my wife is expecting. Man, I could just cry thinking about it. We're expecting, and we just found out we're expecting a baby girl, man. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for a baby girl. So, but you know, I just wanted to share that testimony with you because, I knew we were pregnant when the last time I shared that, but I didn't know we were pregnant when I made room in the house. And it wasn't because, oh my gosh, my faith is so grand, but it's just applying the principles that we see in the Word of God. Man, if he could do it for me, he can do it for you. What can we do tonight? And I want to share some principles out of the Word of God with you tonight that I know if you apply to your life, watch to see what he can do. Because the Word of God cannot return void. Amen? All right, so that being said, though, so here I am. We're expecting a baby girl now. So we had, for years, saved up all these clothes of Andrew's clothes. I have a son. He's 8 now. And so we were like, man, we're going to have a baby. If it's a boy, we need these clothes, right? So it's a girl. Okay, let's get rid of some of these clothes. So we were in the garage packing up some of these clothes to give to our resource center and family and friends as well. And we're just going through the baskets of clothes, dusting off the cobwebs and such. And we would just go through. And like, it was just like this emotional night that we went through, and we're opening up the outfit that he came home in the hospital in. We didn't give that one away, but we, you know, that will be a treasure for us. But then we're just going through the onesie, like, oh, I remember this onesie. He was so cute in this onesie. And I was like, oh, this is the one he blew up. And so, you know, and we just had a great time going through all of that. And I just got this great picture of God's delight in our growth and our growing up and coming alongside us. You know, it's just such an awesome picture. Now, speaking of my son, I had the privilege of walking my son to school every day for school. We live close to a school. There's a school nearby. So we wake up, and prayerfully, he's in a good mood when he wakes up. And on those mornings, we walk to school. And on those good days, we laugh and we joke and we race and we run and we skip rocks along the creek. No, I'm just kidding. We live in Highland. I mean, but we just have a good time. The school's not too far away, 5 miles in the snow both ways. I was kidding. And so we were walking to school, and then so we come up the street, and then there's a crosswalk, and on the other side of the crosswalk is the school. So don't you know, my third grade son, he only lets me go to the crosswalk. So we walk up all the way. Once we get to the crosswalk, like, all right, Dad, I'm cool now. Like, I'm just gonna walk across the street. Like, that's where you stop. So, you know, again, on those good days, I'm like, oh, son, I just want to go with you. But even when on the not good day, he walks across, and I often catch myself just watching him walk across and walk down the stairs with his backpacks half the size of his whole body, and just watching him go down. And I just get so happy. And I thought one day, how amazing that is. And I just thought, man, I just want to hang out with my son. I wish he didn't have to go to school, right? I wish that I could go with him to class or just hang out with him and see how he is with his friends and his teacher. And I didn't want it to end. I didn't want the day to end. Remember, I said those good days, because on those bad days, man, why isn't school 8 hours? It's only six. I go to work for eight. Why doesn't the boy go to school for eight? This is not fair. Keep him longer. What is that about? But I just got such a picture of God and his desire to want to be with us. And me as an earthly father wanting to be with my son only when he's good versus a father who, gosh, he just wants to spend time with us. He created us to have communion with us, to have a relationship with us, to do life with us. And I took that picture, and tonight's message, we're going to be talking about living a life or a presence-filled life. Living a presence-filled life. You know, you could take that play on words and call it presence like gifts, but I say either way works, because a presence-filled life. Can we pray? Is that okay? Heavenly Father, I come before you and I thank you for what you are already doing, have already done, and will continue to do in our hearts and lives tonight. I step aside as a man and just say, God, use me. Let me be a vessel that to say whatever you would have to say and work in the hearts and lives of each and every one of us tonight, myself included. So I thank you for, again, what you have already done and what you will do. We are believing for much more. We thank you for your presence. And everybody said, amen. 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 So again, so this idea of living a presence-filled life, we have the opportunity to have that in our own lives, that we can be filled with the presence of God. I want to go through a verse that we have, you know, because I've recently, in recent weeks, just had such a burden in my heart for a desire for the presence of God. Pastor Dr. Kobernick, our pastor of prayer, has been praying in our pre-service prayers about help us as a church, God, that we would hunger and thirst for you. And that's just been resonating in my heart so much. The idea of craving more of God, of craving to be within his presence, of craving to be where he is. See, because where he is, there is light. And where there is light, there is no darkness. Where there is no darkness, there is no pain. There is no hurting. There is no suicide. There is no headlines on the news that would try to dictate how we live our lives. I want to live in the light of God. So despite the dark that would try to come in, I am not ruled by dark reports. I am not ruled by dark things that happen. I am only ruled by what I know to be the truth, and that is the light. And that is God for our lives. And that is what we as believers all have available to us, amen? To have the light within us. So when we think of a presence-filled life, it makes me realize that, man, I can have a presence, or I don't have to have, I don't have to wait till I get to church to be in the presence of God. And then I don't have to walk to my car and be like, well, that was nice in the presence. Let me go about my life. I can carry the presence with me. So what does this mean for each of you? This should be encouraging for all of us, because now we know, and we're going to see in the Word of God tonight, that this can be our new life, that God's presence can be our new normal. You know, we don't have to think of things in terms of, here's the box of presence, God, in my church life and my Christian life, but then when I go to work, there is no presence there. We can carry the presence of God with us. Is anyone excited to see what the Word of God says about this? In James chapter 4, verse 8, a common verse, the first part of 4 verse 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I like it in the New Living Translation, the NLT. Come close to God and God will come close to you. See, when it's put like that, it presents itself as an invitation. It's inviting us as believers, as God's creation, that we are invited into a closeness with God, into a realness, a new level of appreciation for who God is. Because it's inviting us into a new level of love, a new level of hope, a new level of prosperity, a new level of what God has most for our life. So when it's worded, come close to God and God will come close to me, it's come close to me, son. Come close to me, daughter. I desire to be close to you. It's, don't go to school, Andrew. Let's stay close. So that even when my son goes to school as a father, or when you go to your work, or when you leave the church where the presence of God is, you can still take the presence of God with you. It does not end. There's no departure of the presence of God if we can see and take this invitation, because it is an option for us. And so what I want to encourage you today is to take God up on that option. To take God up on the option to stay in his presence, to come close and draw near to him and taste and see all that he has for you and know that it is good. God wants good for your life. Maybe you didn't know that. Maybe your life doesn't show that. Maybe by what you're going through right now, well, God doesn't really want good for me. Where is God now? I want to show you something. I want you to listen, though. Listen to me. Outside of the presence of God, you know, just by calling yourself a Christian, attending church, you will never attain everything that God has for you in your life. I know that sounds harsh, but listen. Outside of getting into the presence of God, you will never be able to reach everything that God has for you. It just can't happen. We need the presence of God in our life to fulfill the call he has on your life. You have a purpose, you have a call. You have a design, you have a job, you have an assignment, and it's for good. Maybe you know it, maybe you don't, but you will never fulfill that job task outside of the presence of God. I got quiet, but it's the truth. Let me show you. Let's talk about first what the presence of God is. Right, what do we see in Scripture? What is the presence of God? I think we see a few things, a few dimensions of what God is. We know, one, God is omnipresent, right? God is everywhere, always. He hears, he sees all, right? And that's an omnipresent dimension of who God is. But then there's an indwelling of God. As believers, when you receive Jesus and you put your faith in Christ, you got filled with his Spirit. You're filled with the Spirit of God, and you have his presence within you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, I don't know if we got it in the notes in time. I apologize. I'll read it with you. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells within you? That it dwells in you. That word dwell is reside or take permanent residence. That the Spirit of God dwells in you. So you have the presence of God in you, right? We are the temple. But then our third dimension that I want to focus on, and this is what I mean that this is what I desire. And this is what I believe that God desires for his church in this day and age. And that's the manifested presence. That's the manifested presence. Manifested is a fancy word for his expression. You know, we pray for miracles, signs, and wonders. And that is God's manifested presence. That we would see his power on this earth. And look around, guys. This is what the Lord is calling for his church. And I'm talking about the capital C church. I'm calling for his people around the world. God wants his people to rise up and to get into the face of God, desiring his presence and thirsting and hungering for him in a new way. And it's not going to allow us to sit down, check boxes for attendance, and just do our thing anymore. It's going to require us to get up out of ourselves, to rise up and to be all who he's called us to be. And in doing so, then we will see the world around us change. Oh, but I'm an introvert. But I'm shy. God's the task didn't change. Yes, he knows your personality, but we are still called to be children of God. And you are still filled with this power of God, and you still have every right and authority to see those miracles, signs, and wonders in your life. It's not for the special. It's not for the spiritually elite. It's not just for those who go on the stage or who have a certain title or education. As believers, we have the authority and we have the obligation to rise up as Christians and believers and understand that in the presence of God, there is the fullness of joy. And in the presence of God, we have the authority over the enemy and anything that he would want to do in our lives. Come on, amen today. See, in the Old Testament, the presence of God would be in a tangible place, right? There was the Ark of the Covenant, or there was the sanctuary that God would tabernacle within, right? They built a place that was a tangible place that represented God's presence. And it was holy. And as it should be, it was holy, and it established the word of God and established who God was. And the Ark of the Covenant would go before the armies, and wherever the Ark of the Covenant was, the presence of God was. And wherever the presence of God was victory. Wherever the presence of God was, it represented all that he was, and it showed the whole world. We are the children of Israel. We are the armies of Israel, and this is our God. And in the name of our God, we do these things. But then Jesus came. And he allowed us to be the temple. And he allowed the presence to be within us. And that same power, believers, brothers, sisters, now dwells within us. And I charge us tonight to desire a presence that we can walk with. Yes, there's the indwelling presence as believers, but a manifested presence to see things that we never thought we'd see, to believe for things that we would never even think to believe for. The state that you live your life in doesn't have to be how you do. What you were passed down from your parents, what you were passed down from your guardians, that does not have to be your life. Whether it was good or bad, I'm not saying anything about that. But what I'm saying is, we are new creations. You have new DNA. You have been given a new purpose in your life. And with that, we can now do all that he has called us to be. You know, I get really excited because I think, again, in my own life, it's just been such a burden on my heart. And I haven't been the best at it. I can't stand here and tell you, I just do things differently. I do everything. I float in the morning on my way to brush my teeth. That's not my reality, and I don't know that it ever will be. But it doesn't leave this hole. You know, I don't have a God-sized hole because I have the Spirit of God in me. But there's still a hunger within me. There's still an urge. You know, I don't know about you. I have a sweet tooth. Now, I could have just eaten the biggest meal in my life. I'm like, babe, do you want more? Do you want a second serving? Should we? No, I'm good. Do we have anything for dessert? It kind of just caps it off, right? I mean, there's just that hunger within for something sweet, a craving that you have. What would your life look like if you craved more of Jesus? If you craved more of God? Yes. Oh my gosh, I went to church once this week. What would happen if you went twice or three times or spent extra time in the Word? Or God forbid you wake up early and read the Word and pray to him. Oh my gosh, but I'm full of church. Oh my gosh, would it hurt you if you got more? But I went Sunday morning. Well, I'm here Sunday night. Amen. What would that look like? This manifested presence of God is what changes worlds, is what changes countries, is what changes generations, and it's what's going to change our life. I want to speak it into existence. It's going to change our lives. It's going to change what it looks like to live in our city, to live in our region, to live in our nation. No longer do we have to look at stats and say, well, this is our doom and gloom. Well, there was the bubble of 2008, and it's forecasted to be even worse. And do you know what the stock markets did this week and what it did to my retirement? Those are important facts that run things in our life, but they're not the only facts. They're not the things in which we build our lives on. I'm not saying be ignorant to things. I'm just saying don't let ignorant things dictate who you're going to be. Don't let things that are going to go away dictate how you're going to follow Christ, how you're going to wake up. Don't let them steal your joy, because the truth is we have Christ on the inside of us, and that is always enough. I'm almost done with my intro tonight. We'll get started here real soon. Why should we desire the presence of God? I want to answer that question tonight. Why? Why should you leave this place and desire the presence of God? What's in it for me? That's cool for those people who are clapping up there. But what about for me? Why should you desire the presence of God? Is because outside of the presence of God, like I said, you're just going to fall short. The dreams, the ambitions, those things that you want, you'll never really get all the way there. You can try, and I'm not in the sense that I was speaking over all these positive things. I'm not speaking death over you. But we just see it in the Word of God. Outside, where the presence of God is not, is you lack the power. You lack everything that God would have you to be. So how do we get in the presence of God tonight? God's presence is found, number one, in my praise. In my praise. We're going to go over three things really quickly. Three things really quickly. God's presence is found in my praise. In Psalms 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Enter his courts with thanksgiving. There used to be the song, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts. Dun, 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 dun. I loved that song. And again, I've said this almost every time I preach. I talk about all these songs that I grew up singing. They were straight scripture and they were building up faith within my heart. But I would always remember that when I'm coming into the house of God, and we're talking about into the presence, right? So I'm entering with thanksgiving. God, I thank you. God, let me praise your holy name as I enter your courts, as I enter the gates of who you are. So if you imagine just these large gates, and as I walk into your gates and there's a large courtyard into your presence, I'm going to praise you and I'm going to thank you. And God's presence is going to be found in our praise. So what does this look like in our lives? Right? Because what if you don't feel like you have much praiseworthy things going on in your life? Well, your job is hectic. Well, you have a job. Right? Or man, my back hurts. Well, you were able to walk. There's always something that we can be grateful for. There's always something that we can praise him for. And when we speak it out of our mouth, when it goes into the air, when it gets into the atmosphere, our praise allows us that much quicker to get into the presence of God. See, because otherwise we can be negative, we can be mad, we can be angry about stuff. You guys know angry people? If you're sitting next to them, don't look at them right now. Right? If you know somebody just angry, don't look at them. If it's you, just, I don't know. Just act like it's not. But just if we can just change the language out of our mouth, the position of our heart, to be in a position of praise, to be in a position of gratitude. You know, as I was thinking about this, you know, because even when we don't sense him, right? Like again, what if there's nothing to be praiseworthy about? I don't sense him. I have these bills stacking up. I have baby mama drama, whatever it might be, where it doesn't seem like there's presence around you. But what you're doing when you're praising, when you're being grateful, when you're being thankful, is you're positioning your heart to be in the presence of God. You're inviting the presence to be around you. Again, you have the indwelling presence, but now you are positioning yourself to have manifested presence in your life. Jesus himself, he said by the Spirit he was led into the wilderness. He was led into a place where he was tempted. He was led into a place where he was hungry. He was led into a place where he thirsted in the natural, where it might not have looked like there was anything to be thankful around him. But he spoke the word of God, but he praised. He was grateful. In our lives, as we get gratitude in our hearts, as we find the things to be thankful for, as we make it an exercise, God, thank you for another day. Thank you for breath in my lungs. Thank you that, man, I had to roll out of bed a couple times, but I got out of bed. I had to jump the car this morning, but I had a car. I had a place to go. These little simple acts that just seem so trivial and whatever, they can change. What it's doing is it's positioning our heart. Instead of saying, I'm looking at the natural and I could find things to complain about, I'm positioning my heart towards heaven. And I'm positioning my heart into a place to say, God, your presence, I need it. Do you guys get that? Right? It's taking our eyes off of what we see and what seems natural to us, and it's just changing the position to say, it's you, God, and your presence I need. Number two, God's presence can be found in my surrender. Oh, these are, ugh. Praise I can do. I surrender? I have to wave the white flag. I was taught to never quit. No, in our surrender. In Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Everybody good? Man, that manifested goodness. His presence is so good, and it's in this place tonight. It's in this place tonight, but you don't have to leave it when you leave here. Matthew chapter 16. In verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, Jesus speaking, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." 25. "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Do you see that aspect of surrender there? Take up your cross and follow me. That surrender means to let go of your agenda, of your understanding, right? Because it makes sense when you have X amount of dollars in the bank. I know for me, there's a limit. When I see my bank account getting to a certain amount, I'm like, what happened? What did everything get paid? You know, you kind of go into natural mode of what things look like, right? And you have to, you get into self-protection and this or that, or my understanding, my philosophy, or this person says you have to have X amount of dollars, or I have to have this, this, or that, right? But to surrender my understanding, to surrender my philosophies, my approach, well, I have to get this many weeks of practice in to be able to be good at this. What if we were able to surrender our plans in our life? See, because there's our plan and there's God's plan. There's our plan and there's God's plan. But what if our plan became listening for God's plan? That's where we'll find the presence of God. That's where we'll find that we get everything that we need. And all the provision for his vision will happen. You catch that? All the provision for his vision will happen in that place, but it takes surrender. It takes faith. It takes stepping out on a ledge that we don't understand, that feels really uncomfortable, that goes contrary to every logical science and this specialist and this, this, and that. Look, I'm not bashing research. I'm not bashing, you know, well thought out logic. I'm not bashing any of that. But when that becomes our God, when that becomes what drives us, when that became what dictates how we're going to live our life, then we're now putting something above God and we're in idolatry. Eek. And I'm not here to call anybody out, but all I'm saying is that's going to block us from getting into his presence. So if I can position myself into a place of surrender where I don't need to understand everything, it doesn't need to be copacetic with everyone's thoughts and well, this doctor and this specialist and such, they would do this and I'm following that plan. I'm going to surrender to what God would have me to do. I'm going to pick up my cross and I'm going to follow him and I'm going to go where he says to go, because where he goes, there is life and fullness thereof. Where he goes is my destiny. Where he goes is my provision. Where he goes is my miracle. Where he goes is my child. Where he goes is my job. Where he goes is you fill in the blank of what you are believing for in your life. And that's where you're going to get what you need. That's why we're listening today. That's why we need to desire his presence, because lives are on the line. Destinies are on the line. Legacies are on the line. Your, not just your life, your children's lives are on the line. Because the devil isn't just out to get you. He's out to get your children's children. He doesn't want anybody to be happy. He wants to kill and destroy everybody. He doesn't want joy for your life. Because if there's joy for your life, then your children see that joy. And they go, I want to follow the God that my parents follow. But if they can steal your joy, then why? And then let's go to church though, honey. But I don't like your God. Ooh. You get what I'm saying? So if we can get into our understanding, a place of surrender, then man, we're opening up the presence in our life. Last one. God's presence is found in my devotion. Oh man, in my devotion. This one was a tough one. This one was the tough one because it's almost like Christian cuss words, you know, devotion, discipline, ugh. But I believe this devotion finding devotion and hungering and thirsting for devotion is going to be what helps the difference between living a Christian life and living a full life of everything that God has for us. And I don't know about you. I don't want to just make it to heaven and then stand before God and say, where's the rest? Where's all this that I had for you? See, I had you marked off as a world changer. I had you marked off as an educator that was going to change the way education went. I had you as a mayor that was going to change your city and point them towards Christ. I had you as an attorney that was going to take cases to the Supreme Court that would change your nation. I had you as a missionary that was going to go into unwanted parts of the world and see people won towards Christ. But if we can't get into a place of devotion and finding the presence of God to hear his voice, to get his direction, to find his counsel and wisdom, then we'll never be able to fulfill that purpose. And maybe some of you are still stuck on the idea of, I'm here. Being here is not good enough. Being here is not what you want to do. If you're just here to warm a seat, man, you're missing the whole thing. The whole parade's passing you by. You have a place and you have a purpose. You're supposed to be in the parade. We are children of the Most High God. We have a purpose for our life. It'll come back to me. Jesus, help me remember that one. In my devotion. Hey, so I'll give an example, right? Because we can say, oh, we have hectic schedules. Or are you my work schedule, and then I'm a single parent, I have this many kids and this many hours that I work. But the challenge or the problem that with this idea of devotion is that there's sacrifice, there's discipline that's taken. There's discipline that's required. And like I said, I'm not coming from this place of, well, let me get on my soapbox and tell you how you should be, you guys have to have discipline, you guys need to be devoted. Because I'm where you're at too. I'm living with you where I'm trying to find a place of discipline. I'm trying to find a place of a level of devotion that where nothing will keep me from finding everything that God has for me. But we have to start somewhere. You know, because we can't say we want the presence of God, but yet not open his word. We can't say we want the counsel of God for our life, yet not talk to Jesus and pray. We have to start somewhere. So what does that look like? Does that look like maybe that verse of the day and starting a reading plan with a friend? Or does that look like 10 or 15 less minutes on social media or TV? Or maybe that looks like instead of music on the way to work, you're praying. Right? Simple. You have a long commute to work. Maybe you can get an audio Bible and hear the word of God on the way to work. Finding something. Start somewhere. Get a level of devotion that says, God, I'm a devoted follower of you. We devote ourselves to all kinds of things. People are devoted to their gym. People are positive things, devoted to health, devoted to being good husbands and wives, and you'll put those things in your life. You'll read books and you'll read blogs that will make you a better mom or a better dad or a better spouse or a better student, and you're devout to those things. There's a level of devotion. Can we add a devotion to Christ? I'm not saying forget everything else, but I'm saying put God first. Put God first. Let's devote ourselves to him first. Let's be disciplined in how we go after him. Let's be disciplined in hearing his voice and finding ways and developing tasks and things in our life that we know that we're followers of Christ and getting into the presence of God. You know, I think of this idea. I was talking to Pastor Joseph, and we were realizing in coming up with the idea or concept even of devotion and developing a practice of entering into the presence of God for our lives, what that looks like. See, because a lot of times we don't even, maybe you don't go to church until something bad happens in your life. Or, well, what do I need to desire the presence of God for? I only go to God when something's going on in my life. But I think about it this way. I would assume, unless maybe you have a new home or a new place where you reside, you don't go on Waze or Google Maps or Maps to get home, right? Like, you know the way home. Maybe the first couple times you figure it out the way, but you know how to get home, and you actually over time you've even learned back roads and back ways and shortcuts if there's traffic or if there's accidents or things like that. Right? But talk about maybe going to a friend's house and you've only been there in the dark. So you don't really remember, you don't have a photographic memory. So what do? You import your address into your map app or whatever app you're using, right, to get to where you want to go. But what happens? Your battery's dying. Or you have poor reception. And now I don't know how to get there. See, the same thing goes with the presence of God. If we can establish and get into practice of learning how to get into his presence, of learning how to find ourselves before the throne of God, then I don't need to wait until something happens. And then I'm like scrounging, oh my gosh, to get into the presence of God. I don't know how to do that. What does that mean? What does that look like? But we've developed a devotion and a discipline in our lives where, man, I'm already in the face of God all the time. I'm already seeing the presence of God. But now something's going on. Well, I'm going to battle. Here I go. I'm getting my stuff on. I'm going into the presence and I'm going at it. Whereas if you don't have a practice and established a way to get in the presence of God, now you find yourself in a hard situation, a dark place, and you're desperate. But I don't know what it looks like to get in the presence. And now you're calling someone, but you don't have service, and you're relying on people around you when you have access to the throne. And there's nothing wrong with calling up a Christian and calling up a fellow brother and sister and asking for prayer or any of that stuff. That's iron sharpens iron. But man, what does it mean when we can get in the presence of God and hear directly from the Savior? We can hear from the source, the guidance, the answer we need for our life. Man, say you're at work in a situation, you're offered a promotion, or hey, this is what it's going to take to do. I don't know. But let me go into the presence of God and see where he might direct my life, where he might direct me in this area. And that's what that hunger and thirst does. That's why it's so needed in our life. That's why we need a desperation. That's why we need to hunger and thirst. Because life doesn't have to just look like getting by. We don't have to be just getting by Christians. We are called for more than that. We are called for more than that. Come on. You know, the second part of that James verse 8, I just want to read it to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. See, that first part is great. Draw near to me, come close to me, and I'll come close to you. But then there's the discipline, and there's the devotion of purifying our hearts, of being clean, of being holy before a holy God. You know, there's a story that when the Ark of the Covenant was traveling, it represented who God was. It was falling off the rod, and someone leaned over to touch it, and that person died because you had to be so holy to touch the presence of God. There's a level of holiness that we need in our life. And I know it's not a popular subject to talk about in church, but we're not about tickling ears. We're not about making you feel comfortable. We're about telling you the truth. And knowing that we need to be holy, that we need to be righteous before the Lord. And when we can stand in the presence of God, man, power over our life. You have unsaved loved ones, man, your prayers, you go right before him. You have a sickness in your family, you go pray for them, watch them recover. You need a word of wisdom for your life, for your business, for your family. Get into the presence of God and watch him lead your life. This is not some spiritually elite message. This is for everyone. God's presence is for us all. It's available for us all. He died on the cross so that he can dwell within us and be available to manifest his power, his goodness, his love over us in our lives. Did anybody get something from the Word of God tonight?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.